Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Jennifer Zamperali, 2FM. Good morning, my friends. So, neuroscientist Brian Penny, sorry, Dr. Brian Penny, I should say, is a regular guest on this very show. He has told us about the brain chemistry behind everything from phobias to finding motivation, everything. But today we are doing something a bit different because October 8th marks 10 years since he quit his heroin addiction and started a new life. Brian, you're very welcome back to the show. We're doing something a bit different today.
Very different today. Very close to home.
Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
You know, I'm your biggest fan. I really am. I just think I remember your book came into RTÉ and I don't normally pick up those books, but it was calling me for some reason. And I read that book and it was so phenomenally written, and it was just such it was the story, what you've been through, how you got through it, and, you know, where you are today is just an incredible journey, as they say. How does it make you feel that you are 10 years out of addiction? How does that make you feel?
God, you know, and thanks so much for that, Jen. You've been an incredible supporter along the way, so I really, really do appreciate that. And I've been reflecting on this, with this date coming up, I've been reflecting on how I feel about it. And there's many different things, like gratitude is the one thing that jumps out. Like, the name of my book was Bonus Time. It could have been called Unbelievable Gratitude for Being Alive. So it's just, yeah, that gratitude is just so important that I was given that second chance at living. And that's a big piece of it. But feeling something that I feel today very strongly about, when I was reflecting on that and it kept on coming up, is a sense of security. Now, I'm not talking about financial security or anything like that. It's like secure in myself that if other challenges arise, which they inevitably will in life, I'm sure, that I feel like I will be able to pivot. It's like I have a belief that I can find the light when things get dark. So just the security of the challenges that I've faced, it gives me that feeling that of safety. It's a feeling of safety that's there. But one of the biggest overarching things that I felt is a sense of belonging with my family. That's the biggest thing, my family and loved ones, and having the support of other people like yourself. I've really got in touch with my own feelings, which I numbed for years. Mm-hmm. And by getting in touch with my own feelings, I've been able to reconnect with other people. And just that sense of love, that sense of connection, that sense of feeling is just, it's phenomenal.
You mentioned your family there, and you had great family support, but many in addiction, they don't actually have that. How key were they to your recovery?
Absolutely vital. And right. one of the interesting things, and I've only realized this, I would say even in the last year, that my family were so unwaveringly supportive, even in the depths of addiction when there was nothing they could do. They tried and tried and tried. But when I really needed them, no matter how many challenges I caused in their lives, they were there for me. But I nearly took them for granted because they were so unwavering in their support of me, and I knew to be there unconditionally. I took for granted a little bit, and I've realised that it was that foundations of that endless support that really allowed me to do the things I was able to do in my recovery with that sense of security there as well. Because if challenges arose again, I knew I had those pillars to help hold me up. So that was absolutely vital. Having other people in your life, I think, for recovery is so important.
Recovery. But having family when you're going through addiction, is there much they can do? Like you said, they tried.
Yeah.
You always say they tried and they're imperative in recovery. But in addiction, is there much? Because I know there's probably a lot of family members and friends listening to this right now and feeling on a loose end, and they might be going through where a loved one is going through addiction and feel quite helpless. But can they actually do anything?
The very interesting word is do. And I don't think there's anything they can actively do. Mm-hmm. It's more of a passive waiting. but to let people know that they are there if they need the support. And I think one of the biggest challenges, the biggest question I get is from loved ones of other people in addiction saying, what can I do? What can I do? And they try to fix the situation. And when you try to fix the situation for somebody in active addiction, they're basically medicating themselves for something that they're afraid of. Like there's something underneath the surface that they're using the drug or the drink as a coping mechanism. So if you're trying to fix the situation and telling them to do this and do that, metaphorically speaking, you're trying to pull their armor off. They're armoring up with the drugs, but you're pulling the armor off. So trying to fix something is not perceived in the right way, and they might get even more distant. So what I would suggest people to do would be just let the person in active addiction, let them know, look, I'm here. If you want to talk, I'm here. And just let them feel heard. Let them feel heard and seen if they do want to speak. But don't try to fix the situation. Be there. Listen with understanding, not to fix the problem. It's very, very hard to do. But if you can be that space of security for them, if they're willing to sort of step into the realm of looking for help, because it might take a lot of time and it might take several attempts at that. But just to be there for them, to listen to them. And then you've got to look after yourself. I think that's the most important thing. It's very hard. And I think Irish people are a little worse at that as well, because it's like it's selfish. I can't look after myself and my loved one is struggling so much. But if you don't look after yourself, you're not even going to be in a good place if they ever do look for help. So there's some great groups out there like Al-Anon, which is a group, the equivalent of AA for families, to help you, to give you the tools to look after you if you're struggling with someone else in addiction. So it's a really good support.
Because it's a really complex issue, addiction. It really is. Do you remember the moment? Because I know so many times, unfortunately, addicts, they fall off the wagon, so to speak, and it's an ongoing thing. Do you remember the moment when you thought, I can actually do this now, I'm ready for recovery? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, I didn't have those words or use those words, which is really interesting. And I remember being in the detox facility. So I had a near-death experience. I'd bit my tongue down the middle. I was physically broken. I was mentally and emotionally broken. And I needed that surrender experience just to break me down to the core. So it didn't give me a choice or something like that. I don't know. It was a perspective shift where I was just looking through the world through a different lens. But I remember when I was in detox, there was like a little whisper that came in, you might have a life again. And that, I remember that just blew me away. So how can I have a life again after what I've been through? When it was that sense of hope that triggered everything else. And underpinning that, I just knew it. It was just this knowing that I'm not going to do drugs again, because it just didn't work. It just didn't work.
Tell us about the biggest changes in your life in the last 10 years.
Well, the biggest change, there's definitely been a few.
Well, those two letters in front of your name.
Yes.
Yeah, that's big.
They're huge. That's big. That is obviously big. And it's incredible. I still don't really believe it when I hear it. It's like I'm nearly looking behind me. And I remember my younger brother, James, we were having a chat because I'm inviting the whole family out for dinner just as a big thank you for on the anniversary. And he says, he was talking about when, because I was living with my two brothers, and we were talking about, I used to be sitting on the sofa and I used to just smoke cigarettes and I'd just let them fall and they'd be born and they'd be taking the smokes off me, and I'd have the heroin paraphernalia, a bottle of vodka dropping on the floor. There's a chapter in my book called Vodka Bread, because I used to make the vodka on the bread bin and they'd make their bread and they'd eat their bread. And he was just saying, like, imagine if I went back then, and says, that fella is going to be a doctor in 10 years. When I heard that picture, I was like, it's mind-blowing, you know. But that's the sort of external changes. But the biggest changes are internally. And I like the love I have for my family now today, and the sense of fun we have together is amazing. And I found love for the first time 3.5 years ago now with my partner Natalie. And that was huge. That was a massive change, an inner change within me. And we got approved for a mortgage only last week. So we're moving into a new home in a couple of weeks. And they're the important changes. It really is. And being able to give back and help others, that's amazing. I've done a lot of work with
your talks and your online courses. And
yeah, it's been great, especially with younger kids. I'm doing a lot of work in schools, mentorship programs in schools, and I was in Oberstown prison there last week, the detention center for young kids, doing loads of talks and just giving them a sense of hope. And as I was delivering the talks, I could see that the light bulb switching on. Wow, I don't have an addiction problem. I have an emotion problem, a mind problem. They could relate to my story, and that's something that really drives me.
That is incredible that that a lot of people still need to hear that.
Yeah.
Because we've kind of discovered that over here, your story and other people's story and thousands of stories, that it's not the substance, it's the cause, isn't it?
Yeah.
And all of that. And I know that picture is hard to go back to, you know, that lad on the couch with the fag dropping on him and the bottle of vodka and the paraphernalia. But it's important because it does give other people hope.
Yeah.
If you're listening as well.
Yeah. No matter how bad it is, like, there is always hope. Like, I was what you would call a lost hope, but there is always hope. And once you can reignite that fire in your belly, I think when you've been to very dark places, it gives you a drive. You can turn your kryptonite into a superpower. You really can. And I've seen that from lots of other people that were in the depths of addiction and just other mental suffering as well. You can turn pain into great things.
What's the plan for the next 10 years? Tell us.
God, the next 10 years, it's keep on...
Get into that house, for God's sake.
Get into the house. But it's keep on putting one step in front of the other, not getting too carried away with yourself. But talking about getting carried away, I haven't been writing a book. I wrote my book in 2020. I think I've another plans for two books of two ideas that I need to get out of me. And I think I can see me 40s is really doing more work with the kids, doing more work with the corporate world to pay for the house.
Yeah.
And then getting the business going as well. And then I'm hoping that the later years, the later decades, there's lots of books.
Lots of books. I love it. Brian, what a story. Always a pleasure to have you in. Dr. Brian Penny, congratulations. You're an absolute star.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.